when you're a child living in a home that is haunted, it can be very confusing. And when you're a child living in a home with abuse, it can also be very confusing. When the two are combined, it's a great recipe for a lot of anguish, not only at that current point in your life, but it will haunt you for many, many years to come.
There was a lot of abuse that went on in that home, which involved me.
Trying to make sense of it can be a very futile task. Oftentimes, there's no way to make sense of either. What do you do when you look back on those situations? How do you process what went on? Especially when it seems possibly the two worked hand in hand.
My mother married a man and was married to him for 19 years. She married him when I was about 5 years old. We rented this house for about 19 years, and he worked, speaking of my stepdad at the time, two jobs. And periodically, through the 19 years that we lived there, before he would come home from work, there would be something that would come through the front door. We would always be in the basement when this would happen. So it would be my brother and my mom and myself in the basement. We could hear something come through the front door and walk down the hallway towards their bedroom.
Ominous footsteps coming from something that is not truly there. Scary enough. Even scarier if it's coming from a living human being that you don't necessarily want to hear coming down the hall.
Sometimes it would come back and walk into the kitchen. And as kids, we would just run upstairs to see if he was home, but he was never there. And this happened quite often. Also, when we would have company, it would never happen if we were entertaining upstairs. It would only happen if we were entertaining in the basement or if we were just at home watching TV.
Not easy to share the experiences like this that are confusing, unexplainable to those who are obviously not going to understand and probably not believe. So oftentimes people need their proof, not just from the person they trust to share it with them, but they need to see it with their own eyes, hear it with their own ears to really, truly accept news of the paranormal. Sometimes it's nice just to have a safe space away from such activity.
So one particular evening, we were downstairs again with my mom's friend, and this particular evening it came through the door, it went down the hall to the main bedroom, came back down the hall, and came through the kitchen, and came down the steps. And I counted, we had 14 steps to get down to the basement, and we were all just sitting there paralyzed because we could hear it. But when I would bend over to look at the steps, there was nothing there. My grandmother once told me, or told us, that his spirit is arriving to the home before he does.
Was this his spirit? Was this something that was attached to him? Was this something completely outside of him, almost coming to them as a warning sign that the abuser is on his way home? A lot of ways you could look at this story. Never getting the sure answer, but very perplexing nonetheless. On today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, we're going to hear some confusing stories, perplexing stories of the undead interacting with the living. Two teens finding a connection. They both realize they have a connection to seeing the other side, even seeing the energy of the living. But more importantly, sensing the non-living and who connects with them. A brewery filled with rumors of death and murder finally gives one employee the proof that he needs to believe those stories. An antique fortune-telling game seems to always be correct with its predictions. Throws two people for a loop, but who's actually giving the answers? And why are they so correct? Do they want the answers that they're getting? Also, what seems to be a normal night at a seemingly simple small-town church turns out to be anything but normal or simple. This is EPP Bonus Episode number 233 of Real Ghost Stories Online. I'm Tony Bruschi. Those stories and more are coming up. Stay with us. People think that Ouija boards are your hole-in-one, if you want to call it that, for communicating with the other side, and that there aren't other objects that can do it. Well, the reality is, there's a lot of objects that can communicate with the other side, as we've heard many times on this program. It's not just a Ouija board. Anything where you're asking for assistance from something on the other side with some sort of communicative path, whether it be electronic device that can be manipulated, or another board or game of some sort, can also be a conduit for these sort of things. Not always. I mean, it can just be nothing at all. Nothing can happen sometimes with these objects as well. But in some cases, the doors can certainly be open. When you go to an antique store, sometimes you can find some really interesting objects. Objects that you go, oh, isn't that spooky? I'm just going to leave that here. Let's move on. In this story, we hear about some folks who go to the antique store, find a really interesting object, kind of spooky, kind of weird, kind of game-like. Games are harmless, right? They leave, they come back, it's still there. We should get it. That's mistake number one in our next story. Take a listen. Whether my sister and I are just a bit sensitive to the paranormal, or if something is following us. It all began when I moved to attend a college in a tiny country town in the middle of nowhere. The first week we were there, a friend and I explored the tiny town and visited an antique store. We found a certain spinning wheel object to be fascinating. It was a metal wheel on a small base with different answers listed clockwise around the wheel, such as yes, no, sleep on it, maybe, coffee time, absolutely not, and others. When you spun the wheel, it would end up on an answer. Whichever one the arrow ended up on was your answer. We played with it throughout the day, but did not buy it until we went back the following year and realized, to our surprise, it was still there. We figured it was a sign, so we purchased it. We never took into account that maybe there's a reason no one else had bought this antique. I took it home to my dorm room where all of the fun started happening. My roommate started complaining of noises, the sink running at night, sink turning on by itself. It was a clean ghost, I guess. Then it got more exciting when books started falling off desks and laundry would be strewn down the hallway from the laundry room long past curfew when everyone was in bed. My sister and her friends began asking it questions, and they realized there was something awry. It predicted the breakups of me and all three of my friends. Sure enough, by a few months later, all four of us had broken up with our lovers. My sister asked it so many questions that she believes she got it to admit that it was the spirit of a mother who had lost her child. More specifically, killed her child. When the spirit was done answering the questions, the wheel would answer coffee time or sleep on it over and over again. The last conversation I had with it was, are you going to do good tonight? It answered yes. I asked, are you lying? It said yes. I asked, will you promise not to hurt my friends? And it said definitely not. When I moved out of the dorm, I left the wheel at my parents' house along with some old books and such. On one of the occasions that I went home, I came into the closet where it was and noticed that a lot of my old clothes were strewn on the floor in awkward heaps. No one in my family admitted to doing it. The next time I came in, my clothes were once again all over the floor. But this time, my old porcelain dolls were dragged out of the corner in which they had been hidden for years and were placed in the center of the floor. We also heard banging on our back door and blamed it on my mom, who was outside, but she was on the opposite side of the house and never heard it, though it was loud enough to wake my dad up from his nap. We also heard what sounded like a lot of metal pipes falling to the floor in the middle of the night. My cousin told me about how objects can be possessed and advised me to throw the wheel away. We tore it apart and threw it out the window along the road. My parents' house has been spirit-free since, but my sister and I have either been followed by something ever since, or we attracted them now. I know we didn't dispose of this correctly. We consider ourselves noobs when it comes to many of these topics. Many correct ways of handling this have been learned after the fact. I don't know what to do at this point. Will this continue to follow us? Will it eventually leave? Is there any way to undo what we have done? Perhaps one day I will find out. That wraps up the preview portion of EPP bonus episode number 233. If you want to hear the rest of it, become an extra podcast person, keep our show on the air, go to ghostpodcast.com. It's only $5 a month. You get access to all 233 bonus episodes in their entirety. Advanced episodes of our program weeks before they go public. An e-copy of our book. You get that. That's a $14 value, an Amazon bestseller. Yours immediately when you sign up. Video content and more. Ghostpodcast.com, or you can sign up through Patreon. The link is there. In part two, two teens find a connection where they both realize they have a similar ability in seeing the other side. A brewery filled with rumors of death and murder finally gives one employee the proof they need to believe the stories. Also, what seems to be a normal night at a seemingly simple small-town church turns out to be anything but normal or simple. It gets dark and into the occult very, very quickly. Ghostpodcast.com to hear the entire episode. $5 a month. Keep us on the air and continue to enjoy the show, because we'll be able to keep doing it. Ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.